If you will, please turn with you in your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We will not be looking at every single verse, but we will be looking through from where we left off in verse 9 down to the end, to the last verse. We won't look at every verse, but we're going to kind of cover that amount of space by taking select few verses and talking about them. God's Word has many characteristics that are quite important for us to look at, something we need to know. We need to know, one, how to apply God's Word to our lives. We also need to know that we need to respect God's Word. I do not usually do this, and I don't plan to make it a habit, but being that we are talking about the importance of God's Word, would you please stand for the reading of the Word for just these few verses that we start with? Psalm 119 verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." You may be seated. The first thing we see here about God's Word is that God's Word prepares us for righteousness. The first thing he asks is, how shall a young man cleanse his way? When I first started my podcast, my sermon podcast, this is the verse I started with for several episodes. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word." And he answers it in the same verse he asks it, doesn't he? He says, how do you make your path straight? How do you clean your life? Well, of course, you have to have God, because you can't clean your life on yourself. But what do? How do you make sure you're doing right? You go along with what God's word has to say. God's word prepares us for righteousness. I want to tell you, we are living in a society today that don't even want to look at God's Word. They hate God's Word. They hate His truth. But also, we live in a very unrighteous world. You see homosexuality, abortion, so much sin just going rampant. And the world not only says it's okay, they praise it. They fight for it. They call us haters. But folks, we love everyone. If we are the Christians we're supposed to be, we love everyone we're talking to. We're just trying to tell them that God says this is not the way to live. And it's not us that says it. It's God's word that says it. Verse 10 says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." I believe last week we talked about, and if it wasn't last week, it was very, very recent. We talked about how when you seek God, we've got to seek Him with our whole heart. You don't just go out and seek God just, I guess I want to know the will of the Lord today. Tomorrow I may not, but today I want to know. No, you don't. You know why I say no, you don't? Because if you aren't committed to doing the will of God, no matter what it is, like it or not, then you really don't want to know God's will. When I surrendered to God, it's like signing a blank check. Now, if I was to sign a blank check and hand it to a stranger on the street, I'd be worried. But when I hand it to God, I know something that I don't know about that stranger on the street. I know, one, that He is never going to do anything wrong, but also I know that everything He does, He has my best interest in mind. And my best interest happens to be His glory. If God gets glory, we're where we need to be. But God will always have my best interest in mind. When I surrender to God, I'm handing Him a signed blank check. I will do whatever You want me to do with my whole heart. And then He says, "Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments." You know, a lot of Psalms will tell us who wrote it. This one, I don't have it here. I don't have here that it's a Psalm of David in my margins. Maybe some of you do. I don't have it. So I don't know right now who wrote this Psalm. What I do know is, man, this guy knew what he's talking about. Because he knew that the only way to be right with God is to follow His word. Now, we can't follow God's law. We're not capable. But you know what God's word says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what God's word says. So God's word even tells us how to get right with God at the very first part of our life with God. And then He tells us how to stay right with God as we live it. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. You know, a saved person can wander. It's not hard at all for a saved person to wander, is it? I don't have to wonder about that. Because I think we all have strayed away and had to have God kind of wake us up, bring us back where we needed to be. But then the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee." He hid God's word in his heart. What does it mean to hide God's word? One, it means you value it. You value it. It's important to me. So what do I do if it's important to me? I memorize it. Now, I tell you, for some people, and I'm probably one of them, it's not easy to memorize word for word things. But I tell you, the way that I can do it is I use it. I'll talk to people about the scripture and I use it. And the words that I've communicated the most are the ones that I remember the best. If you can't remember the words, oh, remember the principle. Remember the application. Make God's word a part of your life. And what I mean by that is, don't just read it, live it. Live it. Then we see, not only does God's word prepare us for righteousness, it also gives us comfort. Verse 49 says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me," or made me alive. "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." You remember the things that God has established, and you comforted yourself. You know where one of the biggest things I think about when God's word giving comfort is when we lose a loved one. on this side of eternity. And then we realize that God said that if he has trusted Christ or she has trusted Christ, they aren't dead. They're with him in heaven. And if I have trusted Christ, that's where I'm going to. So I'll see them again. That's a comfort, is it not? That is a comfort. I believe it was Paul who talked about how we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And at the end of the passage that I'm speaking of, he says this. He says, comfort one another with these words. God's word gives comfort. Tell you something else. God's word is urgent. It's urgent. Move down to verse 59. He said, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. God's word is urgent. He said, when I found out what you wanted, I stopped what I was doing and I went and did what you wanted right then. You notice in verse 60, the psalmist says, I made haste and delayed not. He did not say, I'll do it later. I think we've all been guilty of, I'll do it later. The most dangerous one, the most dangerous bit of what you'd call procrastination. And I would explain procrastination to you guys, but I'll do it later. No. In all seriousness, the worst bit of procrastination is a person who says, I'm going to be saved, but I'll do it later. There's no guarantee you'll have later. God's word is urgent, but also God's word is eternal. Move on down to verse 89 and 90. Verse 89 and 90. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Forever, thy word is settled in heaven. If God said it, it's settled. There used to be a statement, there used to be a phrase on a plaque or something, and it was something to the effect of, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And it sounds great, but I remember Dad preaching one time and said, that's wrong. He said, God said it, and that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Now I realize there are some claims that you have to grasp. I realize that, especially salvation, right? You have to trust Jesus Christ. You have to trust that he's going to do what he said he'd do. But folks, when it comes to who God is and what God has promised and what God has said he would do, there's a bunch of people out there that don't believe that God will take me to heaven. He's going to do it anyway. There's a bunch of people out there that don't think God's going to take you to heaven. Sorry. But if you trust Christ, I'm going to move that. If you trust Christ, God's going to do it anyway. Can y'all hear me all right? All right. Folks, there's a lot of people that think that their ritual is going to get them to heaven. But God in his word has said, works won't get you there. It's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, isn't it? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. This is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is the word of God. It is settled for eternity. He doesn't make exceptions. And by the way, I think that's a pretty good reason to believe the Old Testament people weren't saved by their works either. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Why? Because God's word is settled forever. Verse 9, he says, "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." Anything God does is going to last. Now, some things are going to last forever because he designed them to last forever. Other things are going to last until he's done with them. This earth is going to last until the good Lord's done with it, and then he's going to make a new earth. We're told that in the book of Revelation, aren't we? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." There's a lot on this earth that is going to go away. There's a lot on this earth that's temporary, but God's word is not temporary. Oh, these pages will fall apart. The leather will turn to dust. But the message inside it cannot be held by pen and ink. The message inside it is delivered to the hearts of men from the mouth of God. And it is settled. It is eternal. Skip down in your text to Verse 137. We're still talking about how God's word is eternal. The psalmist writes, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure. Therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do I not forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth." God is always right. It don't matter if 100 million people came up to this church right now and started saying, "Shame on you, shame on you." If I'm preaching the word of God, I'm preaching right. Now, I need to be preaching in love. Okay? I need to preach it in love. I don't need to preach it in hate. But it's got to be preached. Still talking about God's word being eternal in verse 152. He says, "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." So God is not giving up his truth. He's not. You know, we have a world today that so many people think, "Well, that's your truth, and that's your truth." And let me tell you something, the only time somebody's... See, I don't even want to say opinion when it comes to God, but the only time somebody's, for lack of a better word, opinion makes fact is the only time that's God. It's God. It's when God establishes it. When God says it, then it's fact, and then it's fact forever. What God says is true is always true. What God says is right is always right. What God says is wrong is always wrong. When God sets limits, when God sets boundaries, unless he puts an exception clause in there, there ain't one. Now listen, I realize that's a hard pill to swallow sometimes. It is. But if God don't put an exception clause in there, there ain't one. Now, listen, we live in an imperfect world. I realize that. And sometimes we got to pick the less of two evils. That's not always our fault. Sometimes that's just because we live in an imperfect world. But right is still right and wrong is still wrong. Skip a few verses down to verse 160. It says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Every one. Not part of it. And here's the way the world does, folks. They'll use the Bible if it fits their agenda. But the minute the Bible says they're doing something wrong, well, I don't believe that part. Folks, you take it all or take none of it because it all goes together. I'm going to go back a few verses to verses 147 and 148. Because I want us to note another characteristic of God's Word is that God's Word is precious. And there was a place back a few verses up that talked about that as well. But here in verse 147 and 148, I believe we see it pretty clearly. It says, "I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hoped in thy word. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word." Let me tell you what he's saying. He's saying, I was so absorbed in God's word that I was up early in the morning and I stayed up late at night studying it. Oh, that more men were more. Oh, that I was more absorbed in God's word. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your pastor. We all need to have God's word as precious. Then we see in verse 165 that God's word is solid. "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And folks, when it talks about offending, it's not talking about, "I can't believe you said that." That's not what it's talking about. When it says nothing shall offend them, it means they won't stumble over anything. God's word is solid. And those who love the law of God will have great peace, and nothing is going to make them out of sorts. Two things I want to say about this. One is, if you love God's word, you're going to do God's word. If you're doing God's word, then you're right where you need to be. Another thing is, if you love the Word of God, you're going to hold tight to the Word of God. And if you're holding tight to the Word of God, then your attitude is going to be such that the whole world can come against you. But you'll be like the psalmist that said, 10,000 people may fall at my right hand, but I'm good. I'm paraphrasing. Folks, you will be like the one who said, "The Lord is my shelter. What shall I fear? The Lord is my strength. What shall I fear? What can man do unto me?" If you love the law of the Lord, that's what you're going to hold on to. There's a lot of people that love their money
They're a nervous wreck.
There's a lot of people that love their power.
They're a dangerous bunch.
But oh, the ones that love the Word of God. Those are the ones you want to hang around for the longest time. If you love the Lord. Because they're the ones that'll give you the best advice. They're the ones that'll comfort you. They're the ones that will stick with you through thick and thin. They're the ones that are being used by God. God's Word prepares us for righteousness. They give comfort. God's Word is urgent. It is eternal. It is precious and it is solid. And we need to value it. We need to value God's Word for the precious and invaluable resource that it is.